ask an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. The title of the message this morning is The First Day of the Week. You will turn with me to the book of Matthew in the 28th chapter. We're going to read the story, and it may have already been read in Sunday school this morning, I don't know. But we're going to reread out of the 28th chapter of Matthew in reading with verse 1. Said in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. So this was after Christ had been crucified that Friday late afternoon. His body had been taken and put in the tomb. And so we find that in the dawning time of the first day of the week, we find that the Marys went to the sepulchre, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Have you ever heard more beautiful words than that? We're going to the tomb, and there's the angel of the Lord, and said, "He is not here, for he is risen." We serve a risen Savior this morning. They said, "Come see the place where he lay, and go quickly." Don't delay. Don't waste any time now. "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and with great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. I am very happy this morning. 2,000 years, about another 9 years, it'll be 2,000 years. Very thankful to still be able to run with some really good tidings. They did not delay. It said they ran to tell the disciples and to bring word that Jesus is alive and that he is risen from the dead. And as we already talked about during prayer request time, there are proofs of the resurrection. And the greatest proof is that he has worked a miraculous change in our lives. He took us out of sin, delivered us from sin, and gave us victory over the power of sin. When you are being tempted, and the temptation is strong and it's heavy, there is a power in Jesus Christ that we can say no to the power of the flesh and say yes to God. That is because Jesus rose from the dead. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, as Paul said, we would have all men been most miserable. But because he is risen from the dead and is alive, we have access also to the ability to live free from sin. Because there's efficacy in the blood of Jesus because of the resurrection. If there had been no resurrection, he would have just been someone else that died on a cross like the thieves. But because he rose from the dead, he's a risen Savior, and there's power in that blood that he shed on the cross. So today is a very important day. It's Resurrection Sunday. There are tens and hundreds of thousands of Christians and Catholics all over the world that are meeting together to celebrate the story of the risen Lord. Well, we do not celebrate Easter today as a pagan holiday. And I know officially it's Easter. And so there's nothing wrong with using the word. My preference is Resurrection Sunday. because of the history. But we're not celebrating the pagan holiday of Easter. We're not celebrating the gods of fertility today with the Easter bunnies and the Easter eggs. But we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what we remember today. Jesus died on the cross and he rose again. As accounted by the Jewish calendar, he rose on the third day. And he is still alive today. It is noteworthy that two of the Gospels, in Matthew and in Luke, they give account of the birth of Christ. But if you will note, Mark and John do not. But all four Gospels give an account of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And why is that noteworthy? It is because Jesus did not tell us to celebrate his birthday. Now, if it's in the scripture, it's fair game, and we want to remember it as other scripture and other historical events. But what is prominent is Jesus told us to remember his death. And as we remember his death, we do not want to remember a Christ that is left in the grave. We want to remember that he died on the cross because of his love, but on the third day he rose from the dead. And there is great celebration in that. It attests to the divinity of Christ. If he had not risen from the dead, he would have just been as other prophets have been. But he rose from the dead. He overcame sin. He defeated the enemy. He conquered the grave. And he extended to each one of us the hope of eternal life. He extended to us salvation in this life and extended to us eternal life when we pass from this life. There's a passage of scripture in Romans chapter 1, verse 3. He said concerning Christ, the Son, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God. Now, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So understand what he was saying here in Romans chapter 1. He was saying here that Christ's divinity was because of the power of the resurrection. If there had been no resurrection, his divinity would be in great question, would it not? But the resurrection attests to the divinity of Jesus Christ. He was immaculately conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of a virgin. He was crucified by man, but he was resurrected from the dead, thank the Lord. He was divine. He was the Messiah, and he was the fulfillment of the scripture that prophesied that he would be alive standing at the right hand of the throne of God. And he's making intercession. And it is still true today about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by him. So at the beginning of this account in Matthew 28, and I know there are so many different messages that could be preached about the resurrection. There are so many different thoughts and wonderful messages from it. I told the young people this morning, I said I could preach on those two men, the two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. I could preach on that every Resurrection Sunday and twice in between or more. I love that story, but that's not what the Lord gave me for this morning. I want to speak to you this morning by the help of the Lord about the first day of the week. I was looking to the Lord. Lord, here we are on Resurrection Sunday is coming up. What do you want? And I was looking for inspiration from the Holy Spirit. It was the end of the Sabbath as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Jesus was put to death during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Because you might ask, was it relevant? Is it significant that Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week? Now, we can debate that, but I want to share with you how the Holy Spirit inspired me. Was it happenstance that Jesus rose from the dead on a Sunday? Or is there some symbolism involved in it? So I have to go back, and as I read that, it was the first day of the week that Jesus rose from the dead. But I have to go back to say, what happened before that? Jesus was crucified during the week of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which we know as Passover week. Was that happenstance? Was it circumstantial, or was there relevance to it? I would say with, I believe, 100% accuracy, it was not happenstance. Jesus was our Passover. The Passover feast was celebrated in remembering the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt, the Hebrew people out of Egypt. And as you remember the story, the death angel was going to pass over the land, and the eldest son was going to be killed in every home. But if they would follow the instruction of God and they killed a lamb that was without blemish, and they took the blood and they put it all over the door and on both sides of the doorpost, when the angel passed over and saw the blood, the angel would just pass on over, and there was deliverance and there was no death. And so the Hebrews had celebrated this Passover from that time of their captivity in Egypt. And they were still celebrating it when Christ was taken and crucified. Was it happenstance? No, because it was the blood of Jesus Christ that still today, when it has been applied to our hearts, we are free from the curse of death, thank God. We are free from the debt, from the curse of spiritual death, and we have conquered through the resurrection of Jesus Christ this physical death, because we also will be resurrected with a glorified body. And so Christ was our Passover. And we will take note that at the Passover, Jesus instituted what we now call the Lord's Supper. We no longer celebrate the Passover, but we do remember the death of Christ, because he was the lamb that was slain for us. So before we get to the first day of the week, we've got to consider the timing of it. Christ could have been crucified 2 weeks before Passover. But because he was crucified at Passover time, there is great significance to us still today. And it was symbolic that he was the fulfillment of a Passover. He was the fulfillment in this new dispensation. The Passover feast foretold of the redemptive sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There's something else I want to take note of as we consider the timing of what happened 2,000 years ago. You remember what time Jesus was crucified? See, he was taken Thursday night, and all through that evening and through the night into the wee hours of the morning, Friday morning, he was taken from Pilate to Herod to Pilate, and he was taken about and put on trial. And he was beaten, he was judged, the mob cried out to crucify him. And then early Friday morning, keep in mind, before the Sabbath, which was Saturday, Jesus was crucified at 9 o'clock in the morning. 9 a.m. in the morning, they put him on that cross, and he hung on that cross until 3 p.m., when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and his spirit went to paradise. So Jesus hung on the cross from 9 in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. My question to you this morning is, was there significance to that timing? 9 o'clock in the morning? Could have it been 10 o'clock? Could have it have been 8 o'clock? Why was it 9 o'clock in the morning? There is a reason, and I'd like to share that reason with you. There was every day in the temple two sacrifices being made. One of them was made with an unblemished lamb. It was the first sacrifice of the day. And you know what time it was made in the morning? It was made at 9 o'clock in the morning. The first the first offering, a lamb offering. It was known as the continual sacrifice, and it was the Talmud. It's known as the Talmud sacrifice. The Talmud is perpetual sacrifice that was to ever keep burning on the altar. There were many other sacrifices that would come throughout the day, but the Talmud, the continual sacrifice, was to be left burning all day long. So they offered a lamb, the Talmud sacrifice, at 9 o'clock in the morning. And the last sacrifice that was offered on the altar in the temple, I'll let you guess what time it was. You know what time? It was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The last sacrifice was made. So that first sacrifice that was placed on to keep the fire burning, it was placed, that continual offering, the sacrifice was placed at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then all the other sacrifices were put on there. And then they sandwiched it with one more. It was the beginning and the end. It was the first and it was the last. Was it happenstance that Jesus was put on the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning? And that he passed away and went to heaven, to paradise, at 3 o'clock that afternoon? Do you realize that Christ is our Talmud sacrifice this morning? He is our perpetual, continual sacrifice, that through that sacrifice, through the blood that he shed, it's still what we have access to today. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? That wasn't happenstance. There was a reason of the timing of Passover. There was a reason that Christ hung on the cross from 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And what is so noteworthy as well, there was something else going on at the temple when that sacrifice, that Talmud, was being offered. At 9 o'clock in the morning, there were prayers being offered. It was known as the, in English, it's known as the 18 benedictions. And it took place every single day in the temple at 9 o'clock in the morning and again at 3 o'clock. Do you know what was happening when Jesus was crucified? And when he died, there were prayers being offered. And I will just share with you a brief part of what was being prayed in the temple. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon and earlier at 9 o'clock, the Jews were praying and reciting prayers for the redemption of Israel. They were praying for the forgiveness of sins as they offered that first sacrifice. They were also praying for the coming of the Messiah. Was it happenstance that the Jews were praying for forgiveness of sin, praying for the redemption of Israel and for a coming Messiah at 9 o'clock in the morning and concluding prayers of the day at 3 o'clock? That is when our Savior Jesus Christ hung on the cross, because he is our Passover. He is our Talmud. He is our the continual sacrifice for sin. That has kept that altar burning for 2,000 years. It was because he was that lamb that was slain for us. And you will take note, even in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 11, that Peter and John went in the temple to pray at the ninth hour. Now, the ninth hour was 3 p.m. They were maintaining the tradition of the Jews, going in for those last prayers of the day in the temple. Christ rose then from the dead on Sunday after Passover, the first day of the week. So I ask myself again, I ask you this morning, was it happenstance? The timing of his death was not. The actual hours of his death was not. So what about Jesus rising from the dead on the first day of the week? Why do we celebrate Resurrection Sunday on this day? See, it was Sunday after Passover when it actually occurred. It was the Sunday after Passover. But through time, just a little historical note, through time, Christians began celebrating at different times. The Eastern Christians and the Western Christians began celebrating the resurrection of Christ at different times. And there was the Christians felt like there was a need to have some cohesion to when the resurrection was celebrated. And it was tied up to that point in some areas with the Passover, the Sunday after Passover. But Passover is determined by the Jewish calendar, which was based more upon the moon as opposed to the Roman calendar, which is based upon the sun. And so as Christianity spread more among the Gentiles than among the Jews even, they began to be more dependent upon the Roman way of keeping time. And so then the Nicene Council in 325 AD met together and they made a decision, we're going to celebrate the resurrection on the Sunday after the first full moon, which occurs in March 21st. It's the Paschal full moon, and that is this. This is another way to understand it. It's the Sunday after the first full moon of the March equinox. Now, as you know, the equinox is when the sun crosses the equator. So after the sun crosses the equator, the next full moon after that, the resurrection would be celebrated the Sunday after that. So they would not be dependent upon the Jewish rabbis any longer to tell them when Passover was going to be. And so that's where some months, Resurrection Sunday, it falls very close to Passover. In other times, there's a number of weeks apart. And it was a set, fixed time to remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Jewish Passover fell on a different day each year, and Resurrection Sunday then falls on a unifying day as opposed to a specific date. It's a unifying day. And so that's a little bit of the history. So we ask ourselves again, is it important that Jesus rose on Sunday? Is there significance to that? What is more important than the reality of when we celebrate and we read these stories is the reality of the resurrection in our lives? That's much more important, because it's not just on this Sunday that we should be celebrating the resurrection. It should be every day that we are honoring the Lord as our resurrected Savior by the way that we live our life, not just by coming out to service on Resurrection Sunday. But there was a day that Jesus rose, and it was Sunday. And Sunday, do you realize that Monday is not the first day of the week? I want to emphasize this now, because I think there's some symbolism in this just as much as there was on the timing of Christ's death. Many times people think, well, the weekend is here. Saturday and Sunday is the weekend. Do you know that is not correct? Sunday is the first day of the week. Sunday is the beginning of the week. It's not the end. Do you realize Jesus doesn't want to just be your end? He wants to be your beginning. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He wants to be the first sacrifice, and he wants to be the last sacrifice. Understand? The beginning and the end, the Talmud, the first and the last. Jesus did not rise from the dead on the Sabbath, on Saturday. He rose from the dead on the first day of the week. And I would like to encourage you all with this. How are you going to spend the first day of your week? Wouldn't it be wonderful to start our week off with Christ being our worship of the Lamb of God? Do you realize that's exactly what the Christians did? They began to worship on Sunday as opposed to the Sabbath, because they called it the Lord's Day. In Revelation chapter 1, John speaking, he said, when I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, he was talking about Sunday. There is nothing sacred about the day in and of itself, but it is meaningful that Jesus wants to be the first in our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Too many times people are fitting the resurrected Lord in somewhere in their week, if they can even find time for him. The Lord wants to be the first in our life. This is the first day. There's no better place for us to be to start our week off than in worship. And then you can be fortified to go to your jobs on Monday, the second day of the week. To go to school on the second day of the week. But this is the Lord's day. This is the first day of the week when Jesus rose from the dead. And we have evidence in the scripture of the disciples and the Christians meeting together on the first day of the week. Over in 1 Corinthians, I'll just back it up with scripture. I'm not pulling things out of thin air. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he encouraged them on the first day of the week, lay up your offerings. In other words, they were going to help the poor. They said on the first day of the week. Why did he say that? Because that was when they gathered together to worship. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week, the disciples were coming together, breaking bread and preaching. And I will just say this, Paul was preaching till midnight. I can prove it. We've got a long way to go before midnight. Paul preached a long time. Peter did too. You remember the man got so sleepy, he fell out and broke his neck, and the Lord healed him? Well, Paul had it. He must have been a little long-winded too, because there in Acts 27, it said he continued his speech until midnight. But it was the first day of the week, so he was expounding the word of God. So that was the Lord's day, the first day of the week. So historically, first century Christians met together on Sunday because that's when Jesus rose from the dead. It was the beginning of the week. We're no longer going to put him on the end. We're putting him on the beginning when he rose, and we're going to meet together in collective worship. Well, not to be confused with the Mosaic Sabbath, because the Sabbath keepers did not work on the Sabbath. They did not cook on the Sabbath. They did not pick up sticks on the Sabbath. It was meant to be a day of representative of the holiness of God, sanctified to the Lord. The violation for breaking the Sabbath was what? It was death. There are people who feel like they're keeping the Sabbath. Yesterday, they were keeping the Sabbath, and yet, I don't know that they were putting anybody to death, so they're falling short somewhere. I'm glad they didn't put anybody to death. Don't misunderstand me. But we can't pick and choose what we believe and teach. There was a reason why Jesus did not come on the Sabbath. He did not come that we would be observing a law. He came that we could observe a relationship. He came that we would not be here keeping a day because we have to keep it. He rose from the dead, and his followers worshiped on Sunday because he wanted it to be of our choice. Lord, I come to worship you because I love you, not because of the penalty of death on my life. Do you realize that all of us are left with these decisions every single day if we're going to put God first, or if we're going to put the cares of life ahead of the resurrected Lord in the things we do, in our time management, in the places we go, in how we act, in the spirit that we have? We all have a choice this morning on how we're going to conduct ourselves. But Jesus wants to be the first. So was it happenstance? I asked again, was it happenstance that Jesus rose on the first day of the week? I don't believe so. It meant something, just like the other things meant. It was a day also, 50 days later. Do you remember what happened? 50 days later, after the resurrection. It was Pentecost. Penta is 50. And some of them kind of looked at me a little bit. Okay, so Jesus rose on Sunday, and 49 days later, what day are you at? You're on a Saturday, right? So that 50th day would be back on Sunday. Jesus rose from the dead on a Sunday. The Holy Spirit came on a Sunday. Was it happenstance? Was it incidental? I have to look at the pattern that God used with timing, and I have to believe it wasn't incidental. I have to believe it meant something. The first day of the week, he wants to be our first this afternoon, this morning. He wants to be our first. He wants us to put him first in everything that we do, because there's something beautiful about the first day of the week. You know what the first day of the week means to me? It means new beginnings. Someone says, how's your week been? If you ask me how my week was, and I'm not sugarcoating it, I would tell you this morning, we had a rough week. We had a rough week.
but I'm looking forward to a new week. I have hope. I'm looking forward to something better this week than what we went through this last week. Do you know there's symbolism there? Jesus rose on Sunday. It wasn't the tail end of things, but he came to offer to us this morning new beginnings. No matter how you have lived your life, no matter what mistakes you have made, no matter what trials you have been through, no matter what sicknesses you have been enduring, there is a new week ahead of you. The Lord came on Sunday to bring, I think it represents hope. I believe it represented new beginnings. That's what I believe Sunday means. That's why I believe Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. Because it's something new. You have something to look forward to. We're not reliving the past. We're not trying to recapture something of the past. We're not looking at my failures of the past. But I'm looking forward to something bright ahead of me in this life, but also in the life to come. Sunday. First day of the week. It's a fresh start. Does anybody would like a fresh start? I want you to know it doesn't start tomorrow. It's today. Today is the Lord's day. And you know what? Tomorrow, I'm so thankful that Monday's the Lord's day too. See, that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of the reality that every day is sanctified to the Lord. Every day is to be kept holy to the Lord. Please do not misunderstand me. The scripture never... First of all, the scripture commanded to keep the Sabbath in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there is no doctrinal teaching that commands us to meet together on the first day of the week. That is a tradition. It does not say thou shalt meet together on Sunday, on the Lord's day, or else you will be stoned. That was a tradition that developed in the church immediately after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are some Muslim countries that their days off are not Saturday and Sunday. They're Friday and Saturday. And so Christians in those countries, they're off work on a different day. So their gathering, like our Sunday is on a different day. Every day is God's day. So there's no problem with that. Please understand this balance. All right? But that Jesus rose on Sunday had significance of new beginnings. The Talmud sacrifice of that perpetual, the first and the last. And he wants to be our first this morning. What better way to start the week than with active worship? You know, we live in a world that so many things are interfering with that. I dare say that today probably more people are in churches around the world than probably almost any other day of the week. Any other time of year, rather. In any other time of year. But the Lord wants us to reverence him and honor him as our resurrected Lord every day and every week. And what better way to say, Lord, I will lay aside the cares of life and I will put you first in my life. The cares of life are encumbering too many in our world today. The Lord rose on Sunday and he wants to be first in our life. And I just want to encourage you this morning, no matter how difficult things have been in your past, no matter the heartache of your past, no matter the sin, the Lord allows new beginnings. It doesn't matter what waves you have left behind you, there's a new beginning, and he rose on that first day to offer hope to all of us that things can get better when we place our faith in our resurrected Lord. And I am so thankful that for that this morning. We thank God for the first day of the week. I'm thankful for that first day. And there is hope. We have expectation. And we have hope. The scripture says if any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. What better day for Jesus to have been risen from the dead, to have raised from the dead, than on the first day of the week? If you come to me, I'll do something new in your life. I'll work a miracle, and God allows fresh starts. He allows fresh starts. So I just thank the Lord this morning that we serve a resurrected Lord. I'm thankful for the truth and the reality of it. I'm thankful for the symbolism of the scripture. I'm thankful that he was our continual offering. I'm thankful that he died at Passover time because it lets me know he was our Passover. He was our deliverance from death. I am thankful more now than ever that he died at 9 o'clock in the morning, or he was put on the cross at 9 in the morning and died at 3 o'clock, because I look what was going on in the temple. I was like, Lord, truly, you are the Lamb of God that was slain. And I'm also thankful that he saw fit to rise from the dead early Sunday morning to offer to us fresh hope and a bright future. May God bless you all. Amen.